You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to Friday's Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Gary Capewell. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Jack. Busy time of year, obviously. Got plenty going on. We're just beginning to come towards the end of the turf racing in the evening now, but still plenty to look forward to. And I suppose technically you're only almost sort of halfway through the flat, well, past halfway now, but still some bigger races to come. And there's a lot more sort of, attention given to those races later on in the season, and particularly with Champions Day as late as it is.
Yeah, I do always feel a slight sadness when evening racing goes away, because I do associate it with long summer evenings, barbecues, beer gardens, etc.
Summer's over. Well, I suppose we've had one just about this year, but summer's over.
There's the declaration from Gary. It's official now. Summer is over. St. Ledger's on the way, which definitely means that summer's nearly over. And Across the Stars will not be running, which means that Sir Michael Stout has no runners in the St. Ledger, which is unusual.
Yeah. Obviously a race that it took him a long time to win, which I think was Conduit is for, well, not being Conduit, but anyway, he did. It was in the Ballymacall Stud Colours, wasn't it? So it was obviously a race that he's won before. Unfortunately, this horse is out, because I was impressed with him at Royal Ascot when he won the Seventh Stakes, and obviously he was third in the Great Voltigeur last week, but he wasn't beaten that far. Obviously, the horse that won that race, I think Idaho's going to be pretty tough to beat in the Ledger All thing, all told. I mean, I think Red Verdon, if he hadn't had such a... He's had a really hard campaign, this horse. Obviously, you know, he's a tough horse, but he would have been the each-way sort of pick. I think he's 10-1 with us here at William Hill, so probably still is a bit of each-way value in there, because I'm not sure how many of the ones that are entered are going to actually turn up. So, and I think going up in trip will definitely suit him, so... He's the one that, and obviously he's mentioned in the Racing Post today. He's had a hard few runs, obviously, in the English Derby, the Irish Derby. Went to France as well, didn't he? So, you know, he's done plenty of travelling and ran creditably in some hard races, but obviously he's had a bit of a break, and hopefully he gets there in one piece, and he should have a decent chance, I think, each way chance. But their favourite, Ido, he wasn't stopping at the line at York. I think he'll be tough to beat.
Yeah, Andy shortened as a result of Across the Stars pulling out. So the price that you will get now is significantly poorer than what you would have got a couple of days ago, unfortunately.
Yeah, it goes with the territory, I suppose, doesn't it? But obviously he's their number one representative in a race that they very much take seriously nowadays and obviously want to win.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of jockey bits and pieces that featured in the Racing Post as well. Barry Geraghty is scheduling a return for October, he estimates, after obviously he's broken his arm, hasn't he?
Yeah, it was a horrible fall at Marquee Racing in the Summer Plate a couple of weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago or so now. October, I mean, beginning to see some decent jumpers coming out. Obviously, we've got one running on Thursday at Fontwell in the shape of Shantou Village. So, sort of end of September time, you just begin to associate some of the better ones are coming out. There's a couple of decent Worcester, or sometimes see some decent horses at Worcester towards the end of September when the ground's still on the decent-ish side. But obviously, he's got a big role to play. Got some nice horses to look forward to get back on board, including, you know, more of that. And he's mentioned, obviously, Manella Rocco as well. Plenty of other young horses, I would imagine, as well. Both sides of the Irish Sea for him to look forward to.
I suppose if you are Barry Geraghty and you're going to break your arm, that's not the worst part of the season to do it in, is
no,
it?
No, I suppose, as he's pointed out, he's missed Galway and Listowel is coming up, I think, 2 weeks' time, maybe three. I'm not 100% sure, but anyway, it's not far away. But yeah, I suppose he'd prefer it to be now rather than in the height of the height of the jump season, where obviously there are better horses that he could be riding.
Mm, absolutely. So, finally, Ryan Moore as well on the return and going to be riding at Newmarket, which we'll have a look at some of those races shortly. Mm-hmm. But he'll be in action this Saturday as well.
He will. And obviously, went to see a specialist, told him to have a big break, and he's obviously done that. He's been back riding out now for a little while. But obviously, with the injury, was told to completely just rest. He's done that. Must be very frustrating for him, obviously. But, you know, we've got plenty of good ammunition for the O'Brien camp to look forward to. The likes of, obviously, Idaho, we've already mentioned. Obviously, Carvaggio, Minding. I assume she'll be going over. Well, she'll be probably possibly running in the Arc or over in America in the Breeders' Cup. But plenty of good horses for him to get back on board. I see he'd been cut for the jockey's title. I'm not 100% sure how many behind he is. 18 it is.
18. So, wow.
I thought it would have been more, to be perfectly honest, because he's had a bit of a break, hasn't he? But it's not something that he's overly concerned with, I don't think. But no. It's just a question of getting on a bit of a roll.
Yeah. 18, does that seem unassailable? Given how long's left?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just sure.
No. We'll come back to that nearer the time. Let's have a look at the action on Friday then. We have races from Fosse Lass to look at, from Newmarket, as we mentioned, and from Hamilton as well. We're going to start with the 4.05 from Thirsk, though. This is a Class 3 race. It's over the 6 furlongs, and I thought I'd ease you in gently, Gary, with an 18-runner field.
Yeah, thanks for that. Oh, dear. Where do we begin with this? Plenty. They've got bits and pieces of form, typical sprint, really. They win in their turn. They've got some decent horses in there that have won big races in the past, the likes of your Blaines and Highland Acclaim, who has won some big prizes in the past as well. Lucky Beggar starts life off for a new yard. He's now with David Griffiths, obviously. Done well with his sprinters this year. Take Cover, the main example there. Finished second at Newmarket. Newmarket. When last year, I think it was Charlie Hills who used to have him. He's likely to be well to the fore in the market. I think with the ground as it is, it's good to soft. That obviously you usually want to be against the stand side running ground, so high would be preferred. But with the ground as it is, they had a meeting at Thirsk recently, and the ground was on the softish side, or there was a bit of give in it. And they were coming more towards the centre, so it's a bit of a nightmare really, this, to try and put it the winner off, to be perfectly honest. I'll take a chance with Fendale for Paul Mulrennan and Michael Dodds. Won a couple of times in his two-year-old career. And that was a better effort last time out when fifth at Ripon, in a big field there, just 13 days ago, finishing fifth behind Rudy. Staying on well in the closing stages as well. That was the consolation race, if you like, for the Great St Wilfrid. He's had a few trainers. Obviously, Brian Smart used to have him, but he has got a bit of form on with a bit of give in the ground. It was good when he won at Musselburgh, I think. If you go back far enough, it was probably a little bit easier than the official description that day. But anyway, he will be the tentative pick in what is a wide-open contest. You can give the likes of Eccleston and My Name is Rio chances, and also Intense Style up towards the top. But I think Fendale, shaped as though last time out, that his turn's not far away. Stall 4 could be a potential negative, but he will be the pick in that 4.05.
Fendale, then, the selection in the 4.05 from Thirsk. Next, we move on to the 4.55 from Newmarket. We said that Ryan Moore was back riding at the venue. He's not in this particular race, but he is on other races in the card. So we've gone from 18, and although this still looks a little competitive, there's only 6 to sort out here.
Yeah, but some of these fillies have been in good form. Only Paris Striker and Kiltara yet to win this year. I think there's definitely a race to be won with Kiltara, but obviously it's had one or two issues, and we'll just need a little bit more time to see her to come back to herself. Paris Striker, one of the other older horses in the likes, got top weight to shoulder. Ran okay at Salisbury when last seen. Lady McPhee has won 4 of her 5 starts this season. Won at Wolverhampton over 2 miles 3 weeks ago. Obviously, it's gone up in the weights for that. Fashion Parade won a maiden at Brighton, and then won at Windsor before finishing 5th last time out. Whether she quite stays, I'm not just sure. Grayton Small won a maiden at Chester last time out and makes her handicap debut. But the one I quite like is the Michael Bell-trained Purple Magic, who won at Catterick, as you say, on her penultimate outing, but was really impressed with her at Newbury when last seen, knuckling down in the closing stage. She's gone up £6 for that. Ed Greatrex taking three off, though, will be a help. Obviously, she's in the form of her life. Some of the others have been in really good form, as I say, so far this season. But Purple Magic is the selection in the 4.55.
Okay, Purple Magic in the 4.55 at Newmarket. Let's head over to Wales and go to Foslas for the 5.05. This is a handicap. It's the only Class 3 handicap on the card, actually. And there are 12 runners to take a look at in this one.
Yeah, bigger field here for this 6-furlong handicap. Good little contest, though. A few of these have been in decent form. Cumbrick Bounty and Jardine sending this horse a long, long way for this contest. Registered his fourth victory of the year at Redcar earlier on this month. Russian Realm, Richard Hughes bought this horse at the sales. He managed to win a decent contest at Goodwood in April, finishing down the field there last time out, but didn't get the clearest of runs through. Sure Step is another that's a regular in some of the bigger handicaps than this. This is a slight step down in grade, really, for him. I quite like horse number 6, Threave, here. Won a few races for Joe Cowley last season. I should imagine he will have probably needed the outing. Sorry, she will have needed the outing, rather, I should say, when she finished 6th at Sandown on her reappearance. But I still think there's a bit of mileage in her off this particular mark. So she will get the pick in what is a very good competitive for the grade, at least 0-95 sprint handicap at Foslas at 5.05 Threave. She gets the verdict.
Three of the selection in a decent race at Foslas. And finally, we move to Hamilton in the 7.25. A couple of things noticeable about this Class 3 handicap is that, first of all, Tim Easterby has 3 runners in this one. Mm-hmm. And Mark Johnston has won this race 4 of the last 5 runnings.
Yeah, it's a decent prize, this. Good prize money on offer. And obviously a race that Mark Johnston, who I'm not sure if he still is, but he certainly used to be one of the directors at the track at Hamilton. A few of these have been in good winning form of late. I think English Summer is shaped as though his turn isn't too far away, but he just might still just need a little bit more help from the handicapper. Obviously, Carbon Dating, Salmon Sushi, Time of My Life and Top of the Glass all won on their respective last outings. And you can also throw Hillgrove Angel into that equation as well. Carbon Dating for connections that do particularly well, Irish connections that do really well at Hamilton. And right down at the bottom, Renfrew Street, a winner at Pontefract earlier on this season. Wasn't beaten too far at Beverley after that. And then she ran a little bit disappointingly at Ayr when last seen. Obviously something was amiss that day. Hopefully she can bounce back. But I want to take a chance on one here. Dark Ruler hasn't won for a while, it has to be said. Comes here off the back of a break. Was second here when last seen. Whether they've targeted this race for him or whether he's needed the break for whatever reason, I'm not just sure. But it's a wide open contest. I will just go for Dark Ruler for Alan Swinbank and Neil Farley.
Dark Ruler selection in the 7.25 from Hamilton. They're the 4 races that we're looking at on Friday's card. Don't forget, all of the podcasts and information you need can be found at williamhill.com. Gary, thank you very much for your company.
Pleasure.
And good luck with all of your bets. Gary can be heard on William Hill Racing Radio, which is on air every day, covering the first race through to the last.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.